Hey, what's happening? What's going on in Sharkland? This is Eric from the Shark School with another episode of Let's Talk Shark. In the last two episodes, we covered two rather complex incident motivations called pattern compensation and claim response. Today, I'd like to go back in time and discuss another, although wrongful, pattern motivation called hit and run. This motivation was part of a package of three. The two other motivations were called bump and bite and sneak. These descriptions of how sharks bite people, supposedly bite people, have absolutely no potential to guide us in the right direction when it comes to bite motivation. Of course, if you search the internet, you're gonna find this package everywhere, so how do I dare to say that it won't fly? Well, I've reconstructed a lot of bite scenarios, hung out with sharks more often than not, and there's just no way these bites could have happened the way they were defined in this package. And like so many other things when it comes to sharks, old assumptions are just wrong. Unfortunately, I have to say that many of the earlier scientists just didn't get it right. For example, I remember the post I did on mistaken identity, where supposedly a white shark bites a surfer because he mistakes it for a seal. Well, it's not that doesn't really happen. So, and I proved in one of my papers that this theory is wrong. So if you want to get that paper, just drop me a note through my website, Let's Talk Shark, and you can read it on your own and make your own conclusion. But I tell you, mistaken identity doesn't fly. So let's look at hit and run. What does it imply? Well, it is the run part that sticks out. The sharks bite and then take off. First of all, that never happens. Second of all, it reads as if the shark did boo-boo and takes off to avoid punishment, like the other bite reason, bump and bite, you know, or sneak attack. Well, it just rings as if the shark did boo-boo and wants to avoid punishment. There's no reason why a shark should actually leave the scene once it bit a person. Why should it? Biting a person is something very unusual for a shark, and so is the pure presence of a person in its realm. So there's curiosity. So even if the shark bit a person, it won't leave. Why should it? I mean, if a shark truly would leave, and I will get into that in a second, then there must be another trigger that actually is so luring that the shark would swim off. Important thing is that the curiosity does not die after the bite. But most of the time, or actually all the time, the shark will not bite again as long as there is no, for example, claim response. So why did the scientists back then believe that sharks take off after the bite? Simple. They just assume, and that's that. But what I can't grasp is how they could be so superficial and just assume something and created an unverified theory. Well, that's the problem with the scientists we had in the 70s. They didn't like sharks in a way like they didn't want to hang out with them. They're afraid of them. So if you're afraid of an animal, you will never be able to study this animal to the extent that you really know it. And there's a saying, if you don't love the animal, you never understood it completely. Like so many things, when it comes to sharks' bites, these earlier scientists just had it wrong. Granted, they got away with it for so long because no one questioned them and started to test their assumptions. So why does a shark most often just quote-unquote hit once and then it is done? Well, the majority of bites are of exploratory nature, so the shark tries to confirm something and it's not confirmed, and that's that. So is a shark backing off after it's done what we always label the run? Well, a shark backs off, but it doesn't swim off. Remember, inner circles, inner zones? Yes, well, it's in the inner zone that the shark then most likely hangs out to see what happens next. The shark is still not satisfied to understand or still doesn't know what a human being is, so why not stick around? So what's the chance that the shark then comes back and bites a second time? Nil. As long, again, as there's no claim response triggered or the human does something towards the shark. I hope you remember this podcast about claim response that we just did. So anyway, how can I be so sure? Well, first of all, Everybody who works in the field of sharks has been nipped and knows that the shark then did not swim off. Of course, not many people hang out with sharks on a daily basis, but for those that are, they would all confirm, yes, exactly what it is. A shark grabs you slightly, nips you, whatever, but backs off, but never leaves. So let's look at the option that a shark would then really swim off. First of all, we would have to look for a potential trigger that would encourage the shark. And that actually would be a very potent trigger, because the shark just did something very rare, bit a person, and now all of a sudden, right there, in the very moment, he hears something else, smells something else that is more alluring. I doubt that this is actually happening. So a shark sticks around to get more info, and that's just it. Okay, there are other reasons why a shark bites, of course, beside exploratory behavior. And this other reasons will tell you right away, it's not why the shark would stick around. For example, look at surfers. Not the mistaken on any stuff, but the typical reasons over at the east coast of West Florida. A surfer may fall off the board and the shark bites. Well, possibly the surfer fell on top of the shark, or to try to get back up on the board and kicks the shark by accident because the animal was curious and came closer. So the shark did not bite because of exploration, but defense, stress. So the shark was not there in the first place because of the person. It was there because of the breaking waves and the saturated water. So a shark in that area gets much more oxygen. So even after his bite, a shark would then, of course, not swim off because it was there in the first place for a different reason. I hope you start to see the picture I'm trying to draw. A shark would only leave the site if another trigger would be more important than remaining at the site, since fear is not an option in this case because the person is not actively going after the shark. Remember, face, guide, push, move. So that is just it. Of course, if the visibility is low, you may think the shark is indeed gone. But sharks don't just use their eyes to focus on object, but other organs as well. And you know, there is something else after a person has been bitten. What's that? That person likely tries to get the attention of others and looks for a lifeguard or whatever, but hardly sticks the head below the water to look for the shark. So even 5 seconds later, that person will not be able to remember where the shark was and right 5 seconds ago, so look in that direction. So the person will just do something else and then assumes the shark is not there. Of course, the visibility can be low and then you won't see the shark, but although the shark is still close by. So it happens to us all the time. You look around and you can't see the shark. That is something very, very important and very often happening despite the visibility. And even if the visibility would be good, just look into the glare. You won't see the shark. Or even if the visibility is okay, but you have dark clouds, you won't see the shark anymore. If you have a little bit of waves, you have the troughs, you have the top of the waves in between, shark can hang out, you won't see him at all. Probably the most important thing is, no, it is the most important thing. Do not try to get out of the water as fast as possible, but as conscious as possible after you have been bitten. And that means slow. We talked about this in the past, why slow is key. Slow helps to regain some form of calmness, and it keeps you your sound pattern within some margins. It also helps to make slow motions with your arms and legs. A shark may have withdrawn to the extent that it can only hear the person but not seeing it. So whatever you do, just do it slow to keep sound patterns to a minimum. Of course, if there are a lot of waves, I doubt that the shark can really hear the person that well anymore, from a short distance, because of the loudness of the waves. But that's something we're testing right now. Well, you know what? When you look at the number of surfers, swimmers and bathers that have been bitten in the past, they mostly had one wound and made it to shore with or without help. So, again, the lure of a shark to come back in and bite a second time is non-existent. So even if you make a few sounds, fact is a shark will not come back to the extent that it will bite again, but it still remains close by. Would a shark feel, indeed, that the sounds of a visible motion person be a trigger to a second bite? For a second bite, it would happen, but it doesn't. Okay, I hope you get now some ammunition when talking about hit and run and why it does not exist. So the next form is then, of course, the bump and bite of this package, but we will do that in the next episode. That's it for today. Tune in again for another show of Let's Talk Shark. Have a great day. And if you meet a shark out there, have fun, enjoy the moment, and remember, it is a privilege to be among them.